Okay, we'll get straight into it. Title of the talk's No Place Like Home. And I suppose it's not until you don't have a home, if you're homeless, that you really appreciate what homes bring. The comforts and the protection. I was just thinking, there's lots of other things you can think of, but I was just thinking, you know, you don't have to worry about the mosquitoes generally, and it keeps them out, and flies, and let's see, you've got heat, you've got cold, you've got wind, you've got rain, you've got the security, safety, place to leave your valuables. They're generally reasonably safe, much safer than if they weren't stuck in your home. Place to rest, to recover, recharge your batteries, a store of food 24/7, go to the fridge anytime you like. Houses with families provide an extra level of comfort, learning, love, and conflict. There's no place like home. Luke 9, we'll start there. Luke 9, and just one verse here in Luke 9, verse 58. It's Jesus, and Luke 9, 58 says, and Jesus said to him, 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. So Jesus, though he had a mother, step sisters, step brothers, he felt like a stranger, and he felt like somebody who was homeless. And as we know with animals, you know, they usually have dens, they have nests, and they have holes that they frequent, go back to the different years. But Jesus felt like he didn't have a home in that way. John 14. Try to move through these and just cover a bit of ground without trying to rush too much. Suzette tells me I rush. Try not to. For some reason, I just know. Okay. Luke 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I suppose, he didn't feel like home, because when you've lived where God is, then, what on earth could you compare to where God is? And I was reading about, you might think, you know, cleaning your home is a big deal, but I was just, the biggest home, most expensive, most roomiest home is where the Queen lives, and Buckingham Palace. Is that what it's called? Buckingham Palace, isn't it? Yeah, Buckingham Palace. 775 rooms and 76, I think it is, bathrooms that you've got to clean. That'd keep you busy, wouldn't it? Pretty much other time in the day to do anything else. And they have about 50,000 guests come to Buckingham Palace each year that they entertain. That's the population of Bunbury. So it's just staggering stuff. So don't complain anymore. But what Jesus was saying, look, my dad's got a big place, come and stay. And it's just an amazing thing that, you know, Jesus is saying, look, I don't feel comfortable here. I feel a stranger here. But, you know, I've got a place to go to, and you're invited to come. 2 Samuel and chapter 7. Just start in verse 1. It came to pass when the King David, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus say the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I have commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build you not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shall you say unto my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou went. I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. I have made thee a great name, like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused them to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord tells thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled and thou sleep with thy fathers, I will set up a seed after thee and will proceed, which will proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not part away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee. Verse 16, and thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision did Nathan speak unto David. So David gets a lot of the material ready for his son Solomon. And just thinking about prosperity. David's, you know, safe. He's built up lots. He's got lots happening as far as his prosperity. But this prosperity that brings about this sort of like an ignorance and an arrogance in a way. I'm going to do something for you. I suppose it's rational that he thinks that way, but, you know, I'm going to build you a house, God, because I don't think you should dwell in a tent. And the Lord really had a go at him, saying, you know, it didn't even come into my mind that, you know, I should want this. Let's go to First Kings chapter 8. First Kings 8, verse 25. This is Solomon, who did build the house, the temple. Verse 25, therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Lord of Israel, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spake unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have you respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, and to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee this day, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou may hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of my people and of thy people Israel. Just to verse 33. When the people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. Verse 35. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. Verse 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give every man according to his ways, whose heart you know, for thou, even thou only, know the heart of all the children of men. Solomon prays his prayer that the Lord, we know that you don't live here, but this is a place where you will hear the prayer. And as things will happen that won't be so good, we just pray that we can come here and just put it out there before you, and then look for you to, you know, turn around our circumstances. We'll go to just chapter 9. There's a few verses here, but anyway, in response, in chapter 9, the Lord, I don't think I read it, the Lord just says back to him, look, yeah, I'll do that, but, actually, we will read it. We'll just go through it quickly. fair bit of reading. It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, so verse 3, the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if you will walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if you shall at all turn from following me, or ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before thee, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out in my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And this house which is high, every one that passes by it shall be astonished, shall hiss, and they shall say, why has the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, which brought them forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore has the Lord brought upon them all this evil. So that's the agreement that the Lord has with them. And we'll keep moving. Chapter 11. This house was built in 957 BC. And chapter 11 and verse 1, a couple of verses here. And this is very disappointing to me, because one of my first books that I read was Proverbs and Psalms. I just love the book of Proverbs and Solomon, you know, the wisdom of Solomon. So when I read this, I thought, like, what? You've got to be kidding, you know. He had all this wisdom. Why didn't he listen to his own words? But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as were the heart of David his father. So after Solomon, the houses were divided into the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribe of Judah. And he knew he shouldn't have been doing this, and all these wives that he, you know, accumulated. And in the Lord, you know, we're told to, the Old Testament, it says don't yoke, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, no, sorry. New Testament says don't be unequally yoked. The Old Testament, it said you're not to yoke an ox with an ass, doesn't it say? Because, you know, they're two different creatures. One's a clean animal, the other one's an unclean. Which one's the unclean? Any ideas? Ox or ass, which is unclean? And why is it unclean? Okay, because it doesn't do the chewing of the cud. And that's the ass. Yeah, the ass is the unclean, the ox is the clean. And the ox is about twice the animal that the ass is. And so you can imagine, you know, just for the ox, it's having to do pretty much all the work. And the poor ass, you got this animal that's twice your size, you can imagine being thrown around, being yoked together with it. The ox is having to work hard and not getting as much done as it could. And, you know, in the Lord, when people who are spirit-filled and then choose a partner out, you know, there's outside of the Lord, I mean, you're going to have trouble in the flesh anyway. You're just going to have more trouble, and you're unequally yoked, and you come to, obviously, a truce. But things are much more difficult. So Solomon, here's an example of, you know, why it's good to, you know, to say not be unequally yoked. We will go to Matthew chapter 21 and get back to being, the house of God that men wanted to build for God. And God says, you know, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Actually, having earth for a footstool, I think the earth has about a trillion square kilometres of volume. That's a pretty decent sized footstool, isn't it? A little puffet. Yeah. You're trying to work that one out in your mind, are you, Philip?
Well, no, square kilometres in volume, it doesn't make sense.
Did I say square kilometres? How do you do a cubic? No? No, you can't do it. Cubic kilometres, okay. Yeah, okay. Right. Well, I better write to that person who wrote that and just let him write. We go to Matthew 21 and verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple, this is Matthew 21 verse 12, into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, as it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So I read about, you know, Solomon's prayer and what he prayed for, and Jesus is just saying, you know, it's supposed to be a house of prayer to come to rather than this place where people are making money out of deals that were being done in the temple. And to chapter 24. So this temple is not Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed about 370 years after it was built by the Babylonians. And the second temple, there's really only two temples that were built, but the second temple was built during the times of Darius and Cyrus and Nehemiah and Ezra. And that temple was a sort of more inferior type of temple, they said that they weren't very happy with it. And then when Herod the Great decided in his building projects that he would extend it and made it into this colossal temple, and this is the temple that we're talking about here. This is still the second temple rebuilt by Herod. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be here, not be left here, one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. About 40 years after Jesus said these words, the temple was destroyed, 70 AD, by Titus. And exactly that happened. The gold that was in the temple melted in between the rocks. So they're pulling up all the, you know, the heavy rocks of the temple to get to the gold, so to destroy it. Destroyed this temple. We'll go to Acts chapter 7. So that was about, when was that? Anyway, this temple only lasted 90 years, so it was a lot of effort for just a short time. Acts chapter 7 and verse 48. Howbeit the Most High, this is Stephen, the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as says the Lord. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is a place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. And, so it's not, the Lord's not wanting for us to build him something. It says through the Holy Spirit that they resisted. So, you know, we build ourselves up by praying in the Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit experience, and this house of prayer that the Lord was saying that he would meet and he would help people as they come to him in the temple originally, but then that didn't work. So the Lord's given us to be the temple of God. And just the last reading, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yes, you might get sick of your housework and that, but you just read the people that are homeless, go homeless for whatever reason, and most of them say, you know, didn't sleep for days and days and days, or nights and nights and nights, because of, just the fear of feeling vulnerable, and you can imagine. So when you go to home and sleep at night and you're just in your protection of your house, a fellowship is a bit like that. You know, think of people that don't have a fellowship, that they a spiritual house, and they are spiritually homeless, And, you know, there's security in the numbers, and that these people who do become homeless, usually they look for other people who are homeless to sort of gather and find a group of them. They feel there's a bit of protection from their vulnerability in that. And the Lord definitely says to us, as far as the spiritual house of the Lord, that we come together to support each other. Okay, this one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. That's 2 Peter, that won't be found there. 2 and verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, this, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. So the cornerstone was a foundation stone on the lower side of the building, and that's what Jesus became. And as the temple was destroyed, Jesus is building a new temple, and it's on him being the foundation. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but to them that which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And in Solomon's temple, when they dedicated it, and there's, I think, 120 priests and singers who trumpeted, and it says they're all with one voice, or one, it uses the words like one accord, and then the glory of the Lord came in and this cloud of witness was there. And you sort of think of better things to come in the New Testament, the 120 who gathered, and they're all of one accord praying, and the Lord filled them as well and filled the house with his presence. So, yeah, a spiritual home, a shelter in a time of storm, a place to rest from striving, food to nourish the soul, a home full of love, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So it's something we enjoy through to the Lord, filling us with the Spirit, drawing us together and putting us into a fellowship. Okay.